Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are completely thankful to you and we give you prayer and worship. We pray to live faithfully to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we give God Jesus prayer and worship, and some of us will devote a time of fasting as we pray and worship. Our fast might be for a meal or a day or even longer. Some may do a Daniel fast of eating only grains or basic foods. People who fast tell you that it is a benefit for their spiritual life, bringing a closer relationship with God who loves us more than we love ourselves. Our God wants what is eternally best for each of us. And yes, that means a close, loving relation with Jesus Christ, whom we love and whom we have friendship with when we obey his commandments. That's John 15:14. It is awesome to think of friendship with God. So let us love and obey him. But we can get distracted from this when we see what's going around us, especially when there's an emotional event near us that makes it more important for us to practice that relationship in our quiet moments of life, so that when it gets busy, or emotionally charged, we can return to that loving, peaceful, and quiet place of refuge with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are so very thankful for God's plan of salvation, and thank you, Jesus. Learn more about this by reading the Bible. And some people like to read the book of John, especially, and I've heard people say it's also good to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, and that gives the gospel message also. Well, read the entire New Testament. It's not a long book. It's short. The entire Bible is a little bit longer. Read that too, though, and get an understanding of God and his themes and his words. And also pray to Jesus both before and after your reading and ask for understanding. He will give it to you. And then when the busyness of life comes along, probably you will have insights and understandings from your Bible reading. And that's the way it was for me. For instance, there might be something going on right in front of you, and then you could see a biblical pattern of behavior that repeats itself with a life situation right in front of you. So look for yourself. Use the Bible examples in life. The Bible tells us how to live. And I do like Matthew chapter 22, verse 38, which is to love God and to love your neighbor. I think that's a pretty important part. And the Bible also tells you about future things to come. And I know I look at Matthew chapter 24 for a lot of those indicators, where his disciples ask Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answers, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." I'll skip ahead. "Lawlessness will abound, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Skip again. "The gospel will be preached, and then the end will come." So there's a lot in Scripture, and we can kind of understand where we are in the time frame. But it helps to read and study the Bible for an understanding of all of that. We do believe in the Bible. Yes, we do. And the Bible talks to us using concepts and events that we can relate to in our life. It's not giving us dates. See, we are accustomed to dates. We are accustomed to that kind of understanding where we know something will happen by a certain date. But the biblical events, they do get to be obvious by what surrounds the event, what is going on when that thing happens. So you can see the signs. It's just not in a way that we are accustomed to looking at, but with a date. So that Matthew chapter 24 talks about so many things going on. They're extraordinary things. Now, we will still have natural disasters. They will always be with us, and there are or will be things, just like there always have been things in history, like the plague and like earthquakes and floods and tsunamis and volcanoes. So we can see that there is a lot to prepare for. Oh, yes, there is. And not just the great big huge biblical events, but just normal life indicates that it is prudent to prepare for those big events. Historical in context, that's what they are. We have had disaster events, many of them. And thankfully, they are relatively local and not worldwide. But these things do happen in a normal course of life, and we ought to be prepared for natural disasters. And preparation can be to benefit our own selves or our family, or it can be to help other people who have been in a disaster, whether they're in your area or just need a place to go to come into your area. It is good to have supplies to help people. And let's look at that Matthew chapter 24, 4 again, where Jesus says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." It's always good to read God's word for yourself, because you get more understanding from that. And I do like certain Bible versions. I like the King James and the New King James. And it gives you an understanding that is very direct and plain. Now, other Bible versions are a little different. I just think that they kind of add things. I just don't like them as well. Or they use a different wording that does not communicate as clearly. Ooh, but that's for another day. I just want to say to have that close relationship with Jesus Christ through reading and the Bible and prayer. And this is what we want to support, both for ourselves and for other people. The alternative to that is the heartbreak that comes right out of Matthew 7:23, where someone says, "Look at what I did in your name, Jesus." And Jesus says, "I never knew you." Now, the commentary seems to agree that that person used the name of Jesus Christ and did not have a personal relation with Jesus Christ. So, there again, let's look at having a personal and loving, born-again relation with Jesus Christ. And I think it's just amazing where it says in John 3:3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so we want to have that born-again relationship, that close relationship, and have the understanding of what it would be even to have friendship with God. Amazing. And the Bible says we can. So the Bible has so many different things in it. I just love that you can read a verse, maybe 5 or 10 times, and then you read it again prayerfully. And I say prayerfully because I think that's very important before and after you read the Bible. But you can get a brand new understanding. It just is a deeper meaning. Even if you've read a passage 5 or 10 times, and there it is, a new application. And that is why people say that the Bible is the living word, because it grows in its understanding. I was just thinking about a friend of mine who wrote on social media a few days ago that they did not want to be with friends. They didn't want to have friends that if the friends did not believe in the rapture. And I expect I'll have an opportunity to address this soon enough, but here are some thoughts about that rapture stuff. You know, the rapture is scriptural. However, when people talk about the rapture in these days, mostly they mean a pre-tribulation rapture. And this makes plenty of room for a significant discussion. And there are examples where they say Noah and Elijah were raptured. Removed from earthly trouble. All right. So I would ask you, how is the life that we're living doing as an example? Are we following a close relation with the way they lived, Noah and Elijah lived? I know for me, I don't even measure close to their examples. So I would say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Yeah. But back to the rapture. There are people who try to understand the time frames of these things, and they use examples of, let's say Matthew 24:15 and 2 Thessalonians 4:3 and 1 Corinthians 15:50 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. So there's all these different places you can go to find examples. And to me, I say that is just a little bit too complicated. Those references demonstrate to me that the pre-tribulation rapture is not a clear doctrine if you have to hunt for it in so many places. So yes, there is a rapture, but we don't know when. So another reference is Revelation 7:14, and it tells of a multitude who came out of the great tribulation in white robes, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. It is commonly understood to mean that they were martyrs for Jesus Christ. So, lots of things that we can look at and try to interpret. For instance, the pre-tribulation rapture seemed to come out of words by John Darby, who in 1850 said that he thought the pre-tribulation rapture was out of his own thinking 20 years before that. So that's one reference to where the pre-trib rapture came from. And then there was another person, Margaret MacDonald, who supported that view based on a dream that she had. So, let's see. This pre-trib rapture was made popular by Cyrus Scofield, who wrote the Scofield Study Bible in the early 1900s. So, Darby and MacDonald were not at all Bible scholars, as far as we can tell. Scofield did a pretty good job at scholarship, though. And still, do you want to rely on him for such an important understanding? Oh, especially, I would say, when, for 1800 years, the church fathers said, "We who lived in the end of the age would go through the great tribulation." That's been the understanding of the early church fathers, and most of the world today, that we would not be raptured until the very end. So there is a great difference of opinion about the church here in America as through other times and other places. One thing that pre-tribulation rapture teaching does is it puts into our thoughts that we are going to escape trial and tribulation. And that teaching has become a distinctly American belief. It's generally not followed by the rest of the world. Corrie Ten Boom, in 1974, had something to say about the pre-tribulation rapture. She said, "The message of escape is never clearly taught by Jesus. Rather, he taught engagement and endurance." So back to that time again, in 1974, Corrie Ten Boom called the pre-tribulation rapture people false teachers. And she used an example of the harm that it was doing, the many, many thousands of Christians in the pre-revolution or the pre-Mao China, and said that they were not prepared for persecution because of the American missionaries who taught them that they would be raptured before any trouble affected them. And so, they were not prepared in China and were persecuted and murdered by the millions. So, is that an example for us? Could that be something we ought to not teach? What are we learning here in America anyway? Are we unprepared for persecution? Well, yes. And look around you, and you can see how very difficult it is to get Christians to prepare even for normal things like natural disasters. There is just a lack of preparation in the mind or in a physical way for certain disasters. And if you just think about getting Christians together to be ready for, well, for a serious persecution, yeah, or even to have a group that would get together that wanted to preserve our rights and freedoms, it's not easy. We just seem to think that the things are going to happen and we're going to be protected, but I don't know about that. It look at these last months. We have even had a difficult time to meet in a church and sing praises to God. So let's be in prayer for that. Let's remember to pray for our rights and our freedoms to be preserved. And when I think about that, I mean, can we all just pray for 1 minute a day for something that's important to us? And it might be our rights and our freedoms, and it might be something else. But let's just remember to consistently pray for 1 minute a day, or how about 5 minutes a day, asking God to preserve and protect the things that are important to us. Sure, rights and freedoms. And sure, our family and our friends. All these things are important to us. So let's spend a few minutes a day in prayer, asking God to protect these things that we enjoy now. It is a good thing to support each other in prayer. That's what I see. Not, and prayer and your dollars. I mean, when I think about the missionaries who need prayer and dollars, there are all sorts of things that we can do to help people who want to prepare and preserve or protect our freedoms. Yes, and to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us support them with prayer and with our dollars. Because we are in a spiritual battle, we know that this world is a battlefield, and we want to support the goodness of Jesus Christ. Earlier this year, there was a testimony of a Satanist, and that Satanist worked in a large hospital in a large city where people went in the last stages of their life. That was the area that she worked in. And she would speak or whisper to people that they ought to reject Jesus and choose the glories of Satan and proclaim him as to be powerful in his dark kingdom, and let them join them in his dark kingdom and live there forever with his power. Well, I just mean to use that as an example that this is a spiritual battle we are in, and there are people who are representing the light of Jesus Christ and the darkness of evil. They are both around us. So don't be surprised at that spiritual battle, and do pray for the eternal souls of mankind, that they spend eternity in heaven. So, yes, it is a battle, and we want to support the people who fight for God's godly path. We do want to have godly thoughts through all these things. The thought is the beginnings of our actions. So we want to have God-honoring thoughts and God-honoring actions in this world that we live in. Yes, we do. I hope that you are supporting those missionaries with your prayer and, yes, your dollars. Oh, and if you want to support this broadcast, that would be really nice. This broadcast does cost me money, and the costs do add up, and I do have a little struggle to keep it all going. So your prayer and your financial support are very appreciated. Okay, what else? Back to the rapture. Yes, there is a book called The Rapture Verdict by Michael Snyder. It was published in 2016, and it gives a good analysis of the different positions and how they are formed. It's a very readable book. If you have questions on it, on the rapture, that book is a good description of all of it. So, I was thinking about an experience from about 20 years ago, that when we were looking at, I was looking at different Bible versions, it does make a difference as to the clarity of the message. And that is why I do like the King James, even though the word order is different and the words they use are a little bit different. I still like that version, or the King James. The New King James is another good version. But how do we get to the point of a rapture discussion? Oh, I think that it's good to look at. I think it's fine and fun to look at, but it is nothing that affects our eternal destiny. And that is something we always have to remember, is our eternal destiny, and the essence of that is what is important. Whether we have whatever the rapture question is not important. The only thing that is really important is that Jesus Christ is important, and that we will be judged by Jesus Christ. And therefore, we want to make Jesus Christ the most important thing in our life, and speak about that. And we can study our Bible and find out what that relationship is about. To be born again, for instance, in John 3:3. And it's something that we can always have a little thought towards, about living and dying and living without spiritual regrets. So, yeah, look at that too. Don't let these issues divide the body of Christ. And just remember to keep Jesus in the center of our life. That's important. That's the essential. And, keep Jesus as the center of your thoughts. Well, let me just go a little different direction. When I was 17... I had a shock. That was somebody who I knew actually died. It was a classmate, and it was an accident. And, you know, we get shocks in life. But for the young people, they need a little guidance and a little prayer. So that is one thing I would say. Let us remember to pray for every young person that we know, that they will continually move towards Jesus Christ. And young people always have had distractions in life, but nowadays there are more of them. And we just want to pray that they are led towards Jesus Christ and not away from Jesus. So pray for the young people. Really, 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 it's important. A part of it might be a discussion of heaven and hell, but be led by the Holy Spirit as you have that discussion with the young people. It is a part of spreading the good news of the gospel. So there, as we go through life, there's all sorts of things that goes on. There are people who want to take what we have from us. That's a part of life, too. People want what we have. They might want our home or our money or our children. And so they are going to try to figure out ways to get whatever you have that they want. And that is a part of life. So we have to be aware of it really does go on in life, and we have to be ready to meet that. And people will always want what we have, like I said. And that reminds me of just the other day. There was Joe Biden, and he said that no amendment is absolute. And so there are other reports that go along with that that say that Joe Biden is expected to issue executive orders to promote gun control and reduce gun violence. Is that going along with preserving rights or not? Well, you just better have a look at that. No amendment is absolute. Well, it reminds me of, I was listening to an interview of Karl Rahs, and he is an anarchist, and he is publicly avowed to abolish all central government, and he says there is no absolute morality. Well, then you get into a conflict with people who want only to do whatever they want to do, and there are people who say there are absolute morals, and that is what God has given. So, no absolute rights and freedoms, no absolute amendments, there's questions, and somehow we have to pray that our rights and freedoms and privileges will continue. There are a lot of people who have in the past put their lives right on the line, and they have fought for the rights of others in our nation and in other nations. So we want to recognize the value of what we have and how hard it was to give. I mean, to get. It's hard to achieve, and it would be easy to give away, and we don't want to give away our freedoms. And if you think about what the masks are doing, in a sense, they are giving up our freedoms too when we have to all wear a mask. The medical studies are not even united on masks being effective. But to be convinced of that, you have to look into the studies. I think that if you just listen to people and their opinions, you won't be convinced. But if you take the effort to look into studies, yes, then you're convinced. We do want to be able to exercise and keep our rights and freedoms. There's really no doubt about that. But I think of what John Adams said. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and it is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other." So I must ask, are we living as a moral and religious people? Are we able to live like that as a people? Or do we need to be ruled over and governed? And that reminds me of what the governor says. He has put dictates into place about masks. We are dictated to wear them. They're not laws. Laws are made by a legislative body. We just have to look at where our society is headed and figure out what we want to do about it. Are we concerned that there's a general movement to remove the morals of that we have had as a nation? Well, it's moving in a direction that we either better be cautious of and object to or embrace. And then we also would embrace the consequences of agreeing with or opposing God's laws. And then there would be consequences. Of course there will be. So look it over, make a decision, and decide what you want to support and what the consequences just might be. Look at history for your examples. Bible history is all there, and so is the book history that comes out of history books. Read it for yourself and have an understanding of what certain consequences can be. I know I think of Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 13 and 21. They talk about the four severe judgments of God, the four sore judgments of God. And it's a biblical pattern, and it repeats. But those severe judgments are, they're strong parallels to Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. But anyway, the first one is the sword, which includes violence or revolution or invasion by a foreign force. The second is famine. And, I think of how the United States has no grain reserves. Zero, none. We have either given our grain away or we have sold our grain reserves. There is none left in our country anymore. So, could there be famine? Yes. The third one is wild beasts. And I have to say that there is some discussion about this one, because it is said that in Hebrew, the word for wild beasts has no indication of size, and therefore it can be a great big wild beast or a little teeny microorganism, and they could be both be called wild beasts. So, are we having those? Well, yeah, we are. We certainly are. And how about pestilence? Pestilence is considered an epidemic disease, which is deadly, and it can either hurt or kill people. So those four judgments of God could be going on right now in our very nation. Speaking about the small things, what about what is in a vaccination? Is that which is in a vaccination very, very small? And could that be something which hurts or kills people? I mean, sure, let's look at these matters. Let's try to understand. Let's try to investigate the questions and understand what we can. Certainly, there is more things that are going on than we can easily understand. And that is the advantage of talking with different people, having a discussion, or even an argument about things, because we learn a little bit more. But I just mean, look at the consequences of what we as a nation are doing, and where will it end up? Yeah, masks are a question. They really are. I think about, there has been other cultures, like in the Middle East, that have made, they have required slaves to wear masks on the lower part of their face. So we have customs which say something about wearing a mask also. And then you have to remember that in some Middle Eastern cultures, women are required to veil their face. So it's just another point of discussion. Where are we on this? What does it mean? Oh, well, certainly we do wonder. Of course we do. But we ask the questions and we seek answers. That's a part of our intellectual examination of all the things that are in front of us. The things that we face in society, the things that we face in Christianity or other religions. It's just, there's questions, there's things to examine. And of course, there are repeatable references in history. That happens all the time, and we can use them. And I do mean biblical history, and I also mean the history that's in the history books. I do think of historians, because I've always been interested in history. I used to get very interested in the books by Howard Zinn and the historical facts that he would present. And I read his works. I've read a lot of them. But I found that his footnotes were not substantial enough for me, where he references his materials. And so then I found that he would not debate other scholars about his research and his facts. And that made me think a whole lot less of what he wrote, because he wouldn't defend what he wrote. So I got disenchanted with his works, and I now regard his work as not very scholarly and not very interesting. So we do search for truth. Who wants to follow a lie? Nobody. Let's follow the truth and search it out. It takes a little bit of research and study, but that's what it takes. And I do care about the things that are going on around me. I care about truth. I care about Jesus Christ. And I care about people in the world, that every soul will spend eternity in heaven and follow Jesus Christ. That's what I find is important. It's quite a world that we live in, though, with one thing and another going on, where there are competing lifestyles and competing world views, which we have to understand where we fit in all of that and what we are going to follow. And we see that there is also an ambivalence of people who just don't care what's going on. And so they live like they don't care. And that is always a question of, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to that? Well, I think we always keep in mind the love of Jesus Christ, that he has love for people, and a part of what we do is love people. Love God and love people. And we do that with their eternity in mind. Maybe for a meal in mind also, but not so that they hurt themselves, either in this life or the next. We do have to watch out for all the things that are going on. Of course we do. And we recognize that it's good to have preparations for, yes, our spiritual, and yes, our physical. So we know, if we look back, that there have been shortages of, just a year ago, there was a toilet paper shortage. That was an impact for a lot of people. And we know that there were lockdowns. We know that there were shortages of preparedness foods and things. So what do we do about that? Everybody does it a little different, but we give it some thought and consider what we would want to do to be prepared for whatever is coming. Yes, whatever's coming spiritually, whatever's coming in the world, and whatever is coming in our own individual lives. These days we do see that there are troubles going on in our country and in our world, as companies go out of business and jobs disappear. People are losing their security and their income from the jobs. We are becoming dependent on the government for income to keep things going, and that cannot go on very long, because the government gets money from the people, and when the people don't have money, the whole system falls apart. That is just the way it is. Shortages. So what are you going to get to prepare with? A year ago, there was a lot of people who wanted to have the toilet paper and paper towels, and there was a concern about having meat and having canning supplies and food that was suitable for storage. Now I hear that there's a shortage of guns and ammunition. Maybe that is true. I know that lumber is in shortage, or at least it's scarce, and that's making the prices double or triple in cost. It's a changing world that we are in. Things are changing. And really, I don't quite know what it means, but I do know that we can have a little bit of storage of the things that we use. And that is good for whatever is going on. Yeah, you want to say lumber? Sure. You want to say tools? Yeah. But what could be more powerful, I mean more needed, than food? I was thinking of powdered mashed potatoes. Well, anyway, mashed potatoes is good. Coffee is good. There's a lot of things, flavorings and spices, that are good to have on hand for the just in case. And we all do it differently. And so that is what we consider and try to have a plan for, what it is that we would actually do. Do we have to be concerned with what is coming? Do we have to be concerned with the tracking that's going on with our banking, with our money, with our cell phones? Our cell phones are tracking us all the time, and they are probably recording our every conversation. Is that a concern? Probably not. I know plenty of people who say it's not a concern. They would say, well, let them listen. I have nothing to hide. And I think about the NSA, the National Security Agency, as recording every phone call for the last so many years in the whole United States. And they can look up any phone call they want, either by the person, their name, or by the subject matter. It's just interesting. I just have to wonder, where is our world headed? And I certainly do wonder. I think of the people that are called haters. Are Christians people who hate? Well, there are some who would say that Christians must be re-educated. Okay, well, that's what they say. Let's have a debate about it. Or there's other people with other beliefs that are not changing. Like in China, there was the the Muslims. Specific one escapes me at the moment. The Uyghur Muslims. And so there are people who have been designated in China as to be re-educated so that they would become only Chinese. And there are people nowadays who say that we Christians ought to go to re-education camps. That, because we are socially intolerant. And that is an active discussion among certain people right now. Well, is that okay? Shall we all go to a re-education camp? Well, if we do that, then we would only be able to preach the gospel to those in the re-education camp. And I kind of think that we are supposed to preach the gospel to the whole world, because that's what it says in the Bible. So let's remember that that is something that we are to do, and to pray support for the people who do it, and to give financial support to the people who do it. It's good to support those Christian people. I think the main point of all this is that we do want to support the people who would preach the gospel, and to preach the gospel, we need to be free to be able to do that. And that is the wonderful part of the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States of America, that we have freedoms and rights that some parts of the world, actually many parts of the world, do not have. So we want to maintain our freedom. Again, pray for our freedom. How about 1 minute a day? Can we do that? That would be a good idea. We do have events going on all over the world that are getting our attention. They might be distractions. I don't know. Because there are things that are going on. Distractions, maybe, but they are going on. I think of the military things going on. as China continues to put its airplanes swooping right up to the border of Taiwan. And so now there's a certain response from the Japanese government and the United States government. We are sending aircraft carriers with their battle groups into a position where they could intervene in something. And sure, we don't know what, but it is something that is going on. And oh yes, another reason to pray. Pray for the peace in this world to be. There's troop movements by Russia right up to the border of the Ukrainian country of Ukraine. That's going on. It has been troops amassing equipment massing on the Ukrainian border. It could turn into something, and we don't know. But speaking about turning into something, for months now, Iran has been harassing and firing on several Israeli ships that just happened to go by in the Gulf. And now what else has happened? It looks like Israel has caused a portion of Iran's electricity to go dark. It was the part which of the electricity grid which supplies Iran's nuclear research facilities. And now what happens? Well, Iran is vowing to have vengeance upon Israel, where it will use its newly acquired 1,000 centrifuges to refine its uranium into plutonium so it can produce a nuclear bomb. So another thing is going on. That's going on. The ship stuck in the Suez Canal was a problem, and that could have really put a damper on world trade. If you want to look into alternative media reports, that ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal also was carrying, human cargo. It's hard to listen to the reports that are of alternative media, but sometimes they turn out to be really true. Anyway, that alternative media report said that 1,366 people died in cargo containers when they were stranded for that week in the Suez Canal, and 1,245 lived. Again, alternative media, unofficial reports. Well, I don't think we believe them, but we remember that they might be true. So I have to say that if these things were coming from a country that harvests organs from prisoners, why wouldn't I believe slavery, selling of prisoners? And after all, that is also something that comes right out of Revelation, where it tells about there would be commerce in fancy things and commodities and the bodies and the souls of men. That's Revelation 18:13, that there would be trade in the bodies and the souls of men. So, is that going on? Could it be going on? Yeah, I think it sure could be. But what do we even do about that one? And I think the big thing that we do is we pray. We pray for God's righteousness to reign on this earth. That's what I think we do. We do have troubles going on, like I said, with the military things. And that is something that we can pray for peace and understanding to reign in the world. God's peace and God's understanding. The God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. As we go through all the things that are going on, we do have plenty of concerns. We have concerns for our own family, our own life. We have things going on, and prayer is always what we want to do. Pray for our own situation and pray for the hurts and the pains that are going on for other people all over the world. Because we can only guess what is coming. We don't know what is coming. We do have that big book of Revelation. No, it's a little book. It's a big Bible, but a little book of Revelation. And so we can see that there are things coming, and we do want to have a state of preparedness. We have earthquakes going on. Oh, tremors are not earthquakes. There are thousands of tremors in Northern California in the Cascadia subduction zone. Again, another reason to prepare. That is going on. Scientists, or earthquake scientists, they don't know what it means, but they do notice that it is going on. And so what that tells me is the plain and simple message to prepare for an earthquake. Just like I've always thought, preparation in many areas is very important as we prepare the people we love and our children, our family. We must pray for our children and our grandchildren. They're being taught all sorts of things in schools that we just don't quite know. There are things that seem to promote racism even. And we just want to be careful of all the things going on in front of us. Even the vaccine is a question. I mean, we have a vaccine where we are being threatened that if we don't take it, normal life won't return. How great to have a wonderful vaccine that they have to be testing people to see if they have the disease and then get a vaccination and still be contained. Well, we'll see what we see, won't we? Remember how important Jesus is for all these things. Scripture is inerrant. Jesus is one of the triune nature of gods, of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. And that is a part of our very basic belief. So pray, pray, pray in this world. A minute a day, 5 minutes a day, please. Continue to pray. Build up that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And, of course, if you would like to have my free preparedness pamphlet, by all means, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.